Florida scared the shit out of me. I went outside, take the trash out, saw a damn little pack of squallies. I got the fuck out.
What did they look like?
You think they have a lot of fur, but they really don't. They have pig faces, which is just so bizarre seeing that. But they have fangs, and that was scary.
Fangs? I haven't heard that they had fangs.
You haven't?
No.
You just need to look.
Well,
don't get too close.
I've never actually seen a squally, so how would I find one?
Well, first you need a 1 pound of bacon and 7 bales of hay.
Okay.
And what you do is you build up a little wall in a circle with the hay where they can step in, and you fry the bacon inside there. They jump in there to get that bacon. They can't get back out. I've had some captive for years.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I'm Lauren.
I am Ken.
And this is Paradise After Dark.
Dark.
Paradise After Dark is a bi-weekly podcast covering true crime,
unsolved mysteries,
missing people,
urban legends, and the dark side of the Sunshine State. But first, if you'd like to support the show, please subscribe at patreon.com/Paradise After Dark Podcast.
On Patreon, you'll receive access to our weekly bonus episodes, our monthly spinoff show, Vacation Edition, early and ad-free releases of our regular shows, discounts on our merchandise, and more.
You can also check out our website, paradiseafterdark.com, for our latest episodes, links to social media, our Etsy store, and a special donate button if you just want to help out the show.
If you have a question, a Florida case suggestion, or you'd just like to chat, please email us at paradiseafterdarkpodcast@gmail.com.
So, Lauren, what do we want to talk about tonight? It's a special night.
It is a special night. And the very first thing I want to, we'll tell you it's a special night because this episode will be airing on our 2-year podiversary.
Our what?
Our 2-year podiversary.
Podiversary?
Podiversary.
Is that what they call that?
Yes.
Do I get a ring?
So our very first episode aired on March 30th of 2018. And this will be coming out on March 30th of 2020. That's what anniversary means.
Okay? You know, it's hard to believe it's been 2 years.
I know. Oh my gosh. It's gone by so fast.
I know. And sometimes I think back and it's like, man, we feel like we've been doing this for so long. But then you say 2 years, like, oh, that's it?
Yeah.
But I guess when in thinking about it, I mean, we've come, oh my goodness.
We've come a long way.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. That's such a long way.
Anyone that's listened that has listened to the very first episode and has listened into a sense or has gone back and listened, you can definitely tell a huge difference in so many things. The background noise, the audio, a lot of our earlier episodes, it was great because when you listen to it, I would listen to it and I could hear like our dogs walking around the house and you hear the noises. Yeah. But, you know, everybody I've talked to that do podcasts, or have done podcasts, always say something to the effect of, you know, oh yeah, my first episodes were always bad. And because unless you start doing it, you don't really realize that stuff's happening until you put it out there. And one thing I'll tell you is I know we've listened to it, you know, during editing, but something about once it's put on the platform and it's put out there, it almost like changes it a little bit.
Yeah. You know,
like the final product definitely changes. So.
Yeah.
But 2-year podiversary.
2-year podiversary. And I would really like to go through on this episode and thank all of our patrons who have been supporting us so far.
Yeah, they are awesome.
We've got Allison, Ashley, Audrey, Caitlin, Kathy, Christopher, Denise, Evan, Galen, Joel from Florida, Joshua, Kim, Lacey, Laura, Lisa, Nicole, Shannon, Tanya, Space Coasties, and our very first patron ever, True Crime Nana.
True Crime Nana.
You woo, guys woo. Are the bomb. We love you. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And again, anybody else interested in supporting the show, please find us at patreon.com/Paradise After Dark Podcast. So we got a little something special tonight.
You got news?
News? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were going into the episode.
Oh, no. We have to bring up the news first because we had put it out there that we had, we've been invited to CrimeCon, which is awesome.
Yes, we are.
That's actually, if we hold right there for a second, that's the kind of thing that 2 years ago
never was even on our radar.
Never would have crossed my mind. And then last year we went, we met some really great people. We got supported by a lot of great people that were there. Everyone there was great, but there were certain individuals that kind of helped encourage us and push. And I think it was CrimeCon that really kind of pushed us and said, okay, we've got to be better, and then got us to where we are today.
Yeah, I agree.
And we never would have dreamed that we were going to be put into the route or into the room on Podcast Row with some of those people that we met last year.
Yeah.
So
that we would actually be a part of CrimeCon, not just a guest, but a part of it.
Yeah. So it's pretty amazing when you get that email. So I got the email and I said, Lauren, check the email.
I know. He texts me. He's like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Check the email. So, but in talking about CrimeCon, Lauren's going to give you some information.
Has been postponed, unfortunately. It's
it's bittersweet.
That damn COVID-19, man, that's just messing up the whole world right now.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing, I think. I think that if they would have tried to let it go in May, that the attendance would be really, really low. And
people wouldn't be so apt to come. And I think the timing for it, which you're about to announce, is probably a little bit better to get more people involved.
So the new dates for CrimeCon in Orlando this year are October 30th to November 1st. And if you use our promo code PARADISE20, you'll get 10% off your ticket to CrimeCon. So
that promo code again is PARADISE20.
PARADISE20.
That'll get you 10% off, and you can come see us, hang out with us.
And not to mention hang out with like 500 other amazing people in the true crime world, in the true crime community.
I'm hoping that this delay will allow some of the OGs to make it.
Yes.
Because we had some CrimeCon OGs that we hung out with that were awesome that I'd really love to see again. So this might help that a little bit, give them a little more time. But this also gives you some time. So if you want to come and be part of it, and whether you want to see us or not, that's up to you. But there's a lot of other things to do, and it isn't just coming into Podcast Row. That's kind of what I was expecting last year, was to just go to Podcast Row and meet podcasters and a few things. I didn't realize it was as big as it is, and there's stuff to do all day. So that really, that's pretty awesome. So anyway, that's the end of October. So I wonder if they're going to allow costumes on Halloween.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we should wear costumes on Halloween.
Oh my gosh, I wonder if we could coordinate some kind of costume party at the hotel.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. Or maybe all the podcasters could dress in costume.
Can I dress up like we could dress up as each other?
You go as me and I go as you?
No. We could never, like, I'll go as like Maggie Freeling. And you can go as like Nick from True Crime Garage.
I'm not that cool.
Oh, you're cool.
Well, actually, I'm way cooler than that. And I couldn't be as cool as the captain.
The captain wears his sunglasses inside, so.
He's cool. He's cool. So anyway, so that's that. And again, make sure you check out CrimeCon and use our check out CrimeCon and use our promo code PARADISE20 for 10% off tickets. And I think that's it for that. And again, special thank you to all of our patrons. And so what are we going to talk about tonight, Lauren?
Well, in light of it being our 2-year anniversary, and in light of Squally's being our first episode and still to this day our most downloaded episode, it's no longer available, unfortunately. So we decided we were going to do Squally's 2.0. Basically, we're going to retell you the story with our beautiful new crisp equipment that sounds so much better than what we had when we started.
Yeah, we won't get into the equipment that we use, but I know there was certain parts where I would literally just cut out and go away. You couldn't hear me talking.
Yeah.
And then Lauren would respond. And so when I listened, I'm like, damn it, what did I say there? Oh, I remember I said this. But of course, I knew what I said, but people listening didn't. But
yeah.
I got to tell you, from that episode on, even people to this day, it's still one of our most downloaded, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's like our most popular one. But now we've got a...
We've got to remove it. Actually, I think Lauren already did remove it.
I did.
Yeah.
And now we're going to do 2.0. So this is the story of the urban legend of the Squallies. Now, this urban legend is based in Golden Gate Estates. So Golden Gate Estates is technically located in Naples, Florida, the outlying area of Naples, made up of working class and middle class families.
That includes us.
That's where we live. We live in Golden Gate Estates, by the way. Now, Golden Gate Estates is a fairly newer development, only really becoming inhabited by people over the last 30 years, growing significantly in the last 20 years.
Yeah, because I moved out here, like I said in the original episode, 1997, and there weren't that many people here at all.
No, you were one of the first, I think.
It was a long ride home. I live farther out, but it's actually about two-thirds of the time it used to take, even though I'm farther away.
Well, the reason why it expanded so quickly in the last 20 years is because it offers affordable land away from the hustle and bustle of the city of Naples and all the tourists. And if anybody knows this area, my God, during season, the population in Naples quadruples.
Seems like
it. And the traffic is insane. So,
here's my favorite part.
Out in Golden Gate Estates, there's no homeowners associations. Woo, woo. Campers, trucks, ATVs, and swamp buggies are welcome. It's just like a really kind of laid back sort of area for just regular people. We're not millionaires. We work for the millionaires.
Yeah. Well, we work to serve them anyway. And you know, it's still Naples, Florida, but you can still be at the beach in 20, 30 minutes if you want to.
Yeah.
But like everybody else says to us, why do you live way out there? Because when I get home, it's quiet. It's worth the drive home. Sometimes in the morning, it's not great.
It is so quiet, especially recently.
Well, that's everything right now. The place is kind of desolate and everyone is staying home.
I know, but it is kind of weird when you walk outside because you hear nothing.
I know.
But birds.
Yeah.
So...
Well, it does sort of have a bit of a checkered past, Golden Gate Estates area. Now, the Gulf American Land Corporation, which was founded by Leonard and Jack Rosen back in 1957, the company bought 175 square miles of swampland, and they only paid about $100 an acre. And they dug the canals to drain the wetlands and sort of carve the property into 1.25 acre lots. This was all done by 1960. They then promoted the Golden Gate Estates worldwide as vacation retirement community. They did the same crap up in Cape Coral, sort of. They were selling lots using black and white television advertisements. They used national newspaper advertising and these slick, cool, colorful sales brochures, which are everybody always knows getting those. The free steak dinners to those willing to listen to the sales pitch. So a free steak dinner, could you imagine that? Being invited out to a steak dinner just to listen to someone try to sell you land.
Well, that's kind of like what they do with the timeshares.
Yeah. I mean, our realtor never invited us out for crap. So
it's claimed that the Rosen brothers were selling people, quote, waterfront property that was in fact underwater for half of the year and 15 miles from the Gulf of Mexico, flying prospective buyers over one part of the community and then selling them a piece of property in another part, preying on the elderly and veterans, and even allegedly driving buyers that had the audacity to demand to see their property into what is now known as Big Cypress Swamp and threatening to leave them there if they didn't sign the contract.
So they were putting them in a plane. So they give them the brochure. They feed them a steak dinner. They put them on a plane once they agree, and they fly them over this area and say, hey, look at all this. And so the people buy. But when they sign the paperwork, they were getting something else.
Yes.
That's
kind of a scam. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So most of the lots were sold by 1965, and it turns out that the unsuspecting buyers were suckered into paying over $15,000 for a lot that was worth about $3,000. The plots of land were largely uninhabitable, except for the alligators and birds attracted to the canals that were dug to drain the swamp.
And still today, a lot of that is uninhabitable.
Yes.
So these particular lots you still can't do anything with today.
So by 1974, the area was less than 10% developed, and it became obvious that with no centralized water or sewer system in place, it could never support the world's biggest planned community that the Rosens had boasted about. The brothers eventually pled guilty to defrauding buyers and were suspended from operation in Florida for 30 days and made to make full restitution to all the buyers involved in the lot switch.
Now, in the 1970s, the abandoned roads, particularly Everglades Boulevard, was regularly used as a landing strip from planes bringing drugs in from South America. And this allowed them to go virtually unnoticed. So they could come in and they could fly in and fly out without being seen. Because, I mean, back then, they wouldn't patrol out here. And Everglades City was just a stone's throw away from the Golden Gate Estates. Now, this was the hub of the Southwest Florida's drug trade. And when stricter laws and rapidly declining fish populations made it nearly impossible for the locals to make a living in the 70s and 80s, many of them turned to smuggling drugs. This was much easier and much more profitable work. Well, I can understand that. And they were moving quite a bit of it.
Oh, yes.
In 1983, the DEA raided Everglades City and arrested nearly 80% of the town's men. Now, apparently, it's a sore subject for the town. And I guess you really don't want to kind of go in there and start asking questions.
Yeah, my uncle was arrested during all of this. He spent like 8 years in prison.
And he was one of those in Everglades City?
Well, he didn't live in Everglades City. He lived in Golden Gate City.
Well, that was,
but you know, he was involved in that shit in Everglades City.
Well, one of the problems that they had, in all the articles and stuff and the documentaries I've seen is they were making all this money. And of course, these guys in Everglades City, I mean, they were making pretty decent money in the fish. Lobster traps, crab traps, or not lobster traps, I'm sorry, crab traps. And this was a whole new bunch of money. And these guys turned their ships into going out there picking up square grouper, as we saw in that one documentary. But these guys are going out buying brand new boats, brand new cars. So they're getting Corvettes, pickup trucks. I mean, they were buying shit there's no way they could have possibly afforded with regular money. And then they wonder why the DEA came rushing in.
Right.
Golden Gate Estates is currently 75% populated. And this has a population of approximately 340,000. Now, they just built, I guess it was a couple years ago, they built a Publix out here.
Yeah, it's been like 3 years almost
now.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, we talked about that originally, I think. It was.
Yeah.
And it, but for that
set, but that's a big deal. We got a Publix.
It's huge. I mean, we had one a little further away, but this one's much easier to get to. Except right now, it's not easy to get in and out of because everybody's packed in there.
So, according to Collier County's master plan, they are expecting the estates to continue to expand, and about 300,000 more folks are expected to move to the area. Because well, there's no other place for them to go. They have to go east. Because north, south,
yeah,
and west is the Gulf of Mexico. All right, so I first heard about the legend of the Squallies in the late 1990s. This was when I was in high school, middle school, high school time frame. And the basics of the legend is this. There's a colony of creatures called squallies living somewhere deep in the woods in Golden Gate Estates. They're short humanoid creatures with pig-like snouts. And approximately 40 to 50 of them still live there to this day. And if they catch you, they will eat you.
They have fangs.
Some say there was some kind of government experiment gone wrong and were abandoned. Now, others say they were created by this crazy scientist who still guards them to this day. Both versions of the story state that there's a crazy old man out there who will shoot you on sight if you trespass on the squally land.
Get on out of here!
The place where they are kept may be what is now known as the Naethlerieden Sanctuary, but there's also rumors that they are kept near an abandoned laboratory located near Oil Well Road and DeSoto Boulevard.
I am suspect of one building.
Now, Naethlerieden Sanctuary and this particular intersections are miles and miles away from each other.
Now, many people, mostly as teenagers, claim to have come across a squally in different places in the Golden Gate Estates. Now, Lauren posted in a local Facebook group at the time, originally we did this episode, asking if anyone had seen a squally or if they'd heard any information on a squally. And of course, she got a whole lot of weirdos coming out of the woodwork. And here are some of the actual responses.
Well, first, I just want to say that when I realized that we were going to redo this episode, I did post again in a Golden Gate Estates group, has anybody seen a squally? And I got absolutely no responses, but I got a whole bunch of people giving me the laughy emoji responses. I'm like, I'm trying to be serious here. And everybody's just like laughing at me. So I got no responses.
Damn emojis.
So all of these responses are going back to 2 years ago when we originally did this. So one poster claimed that back in 1999, he and his friends were out in the woods on their ATVs when they found a goat with its throat cut and missing its legs. There were also rocks and pieces of burnt wood surrounding the carcass, kind of like torches, he wrote. During the same trip, out in the middle of the sticks, he claims his buddy was hit in the head by a rock. As they tried to leave the area, more rocks were thrown at them, but only hitting the nearby palmettos.
That's enough to scare the heck out of you anyway. Whenever I'm like walking around and I hear shit walking on the palmettos, a lizard can walk across a palmetto bush and it sounds like a big animal. Because they're like, they echo through there. They scare you. Ah.
So they also apparently heard a woman scream, which is when they finally decided to haul ass. And I just want to say that I would have hauled ass a lot sooner than that.
Yeah. As soon as the rocks were thrown, gone. Another local claims, quote, I went out there with a group of friends about 2 years ago. We went late. It was maybe 2 or 3 in the morning. We actually got out of our cars, walked up, and a light went on. We took off running and heard 3 gunshots. We got in our cars and took off. The first car claims that an owl landed in front of the car with the wings spread out. We did get chased out. It was very scary. We heard lots of barking, howling, and screams. Not sure if it's an old guy doing it to scare people for fun or what. Either way, scared us.
I used to live on DeSoto and was told about the squallies. I used to ride my horse everywhere but never crossed anything. But my horse and I would never go by there because it gave me the creeps. And my mare would always act weird. Okay.
It was a tall tale kids used to lie about. They've been telling the story out in the estates for a long time, especially when it was still mostly woods. A lot of people have stories about going to these places where these, quote, midget pig-faced humanoids kidnap people. I've heard lots of stories growing up. They supposedly lived out there in a large plot of land deep in the estates. The truth is a tree hugger doctor bought land and wanted it untouched and wanted to preserve it. The place is kind of crazy, so a lot of people made up rumors about it and spread them. The guy went crazy because people would trespass trying to find the pig people. He ended up shooting some kids. It got so bad. They found the landowner years later in Miami walking down the road barefoot, not making any sense. They put him in a halfway home. He has since passed away, and I'm not sure what they have decided to do with his land. Now the property is still the same, but somebody is paid to watch the land because of all the trespassing issues.
According to an article from freaklore.com on June 14th, 2011, a man named James Scarborough claimed to have wrecked his motorcycle after seeing a, quote, boogeyman in the road. He later told Florida Highway Patrol that he was pinned down by a pig-looking person after he crashed his motorcycle. According to the actual police report in this incident, which I did dig up, Scarborough did mention that a boogeyman caused him to crash his motorcycle, but there's no mention of a pig-looking person pinning him down. He also claimed, while receiving medical attention in the hospital, that before being arrested for DUI, that he was never in a crash at all.
He was so drunk he didn't know he wrecked.
According to the report filed by Florida State Trooper A.M. Grieve, the defendant had bloodshot, watery eyes that were brown in color. His face was flushed and his speech was slurred and mush-mouthed and difficult to understand.
And that was actually written in the police report, mush-mouthed.
Mush-mouthed. Yeah. Mush-mouthed. That must be what happens to me when I've been podcasting too much.
So apparently this was not an actual sighting or encounter with a squally?
No, I think that this was just a drunk guy and then somebody added the whole pig person into the story just for sensationalism. Because I found the actual police report and there's no mention of a pig-faced person.
I liked it better with the pig-faced person story.
So there are no factual reports that we could find of anyone actually encountering or being harmed by a squally. All we have here is stories from the locals. And a lot of the stories are kind of convincing and scary, although there are some interesting missing persons reports originating in Golden Gate Estates, which we won't get into during this episode, but just putting that out there.
And we have done our own squally hunts.
We have done squally hunts.
We've been out looking for squallies.
We literally have been out looking for squallies. It's been 2 years since we did this, and I want to say a handful of times we legitimately went out in the woods.
Looking for squallies. We
haven't found anything super interesting or yet, but
no, and we've,
that's
we've,
not to say that we won't ever.
Yeah, we've let yet to travel to the actual epicenter, or what I would call a hot zone of squallies, because we don't want to get shot at like everybody else keeps claiming. So, well, some of these stories may have been based on actual facts, though. Bob Gore, a zoologist, pieced together the Nath Laredan Wildlife Sanctuary in rural Collier County. Now, he was born in 1939. Gore grew up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He enlisted in the Army in 1959 and was a specialist in Morse code. He was stationed in Germany during the Korean War. After the Army, he earned his doctorate in marine zoology from the University of Miami's School of Marine and Atmospheric Science. In the 1980s, he began buying parcels from the owners and their heirs who had been caught up in the Rosen Brothers scheme that we talked about earlier. He tracked down these landowners all over the country, eventually acquiring 71 parcels of land and approximately 200 acres. He built a modest home in the center of this land. It's actually a really cute home. It looks like he's added some stuff here and there. It's like a two-story home, all open
it's
underneath.
It's all made of cypress wood, too.
It's beautiful. It's actually
almost like he made it like by himself, like chopped down trees
with
and
the stuff
built
that's there. It's really cute, but it's a house. Home. I mean, it's not like a cabin. But now, Nath Laredan is the name of his sanctuary. The word is apparently made up of several different languages, but roughly means garden of fairies. Could squallies be considered fairies? I think we asked that originally.
Well, I think that fairies actually are technically ugly little creatures. They're not beautiful little winged things. If you get into the real folklore of fairies, they're supposed to be ugly and scary.
They weren't in True Blood.
Some of them were.
What about, do fairies wear boots? Actually, fairies do wear boots, and you got to believe them.
Okay.
That's Ozzy Osbourne's song, sorry.
Oh.
Or Black Sabbath, sorry.
So eventually word got around that there was a scientist living alone deep in the woods. That's when the rumors started. Sneaking onto Gore's property in the middle of the night became a rite of passage for most teenagers in the area. Apparently, enough was enough when on December 16th of the year 2000, he shot at a car full of teenagers with a 12-gauge shotgun, shattering the front window and hitting one teen twice in the head. When police arrived at his property, he and three friends were there at the gate, armed with his shotgun, a .38 caliber Smith & Wesson, and a 9mm H&K, and a Colt 45. He was charged with aggravated battery, shooting a deadly missile into a vehicle, and 6 counts of aggravated assault with a firearm, but pled to a lesser charge of improper exhibition of a firearm and received 6 months probation. The 17-year-old who was shot in the head survived.
Man, he was really well armed.
There were two incidents in 2005. The first was when he fired shots at a man and a woman's head as they tried to track a black bear. The second was when he held a Florida Power and Light tree trimming crew at gunpoint. He was charged with aggravated assault in connection with the bear incident. In 2007, he pled no contest and was sentenced to 4 years of state probation.
I wonder if they were trying to like clear the trees and stuff to get power somewhere else or to his house.
I don't know. So for the incident involving the tree trimmers, he pled no contest and received another 4 years probation and was ordered to surrender all of his weapons to the Collier County Sheriff's Office. According to an article in the Naples Daily News, published on March 18, 2017, one day in 2009, Bob Gore got into his car and drove to Miami. He parked at a condo and started walking down the Rickenbacker Causeway. Police found him lost and confused. He stated he was looking for the school where he earned his doctorate degree. He never returned to Nath Laredan after that. Bob Gore lived out his days in Port St. John, just east of Orlando, Florida, where his family moved him after he was found walking down the causeway. His family decided Gore was no longer able to live at Nath Laredan and wanted him closer to them. He died peacefully at his home on February 7th of 2017 at the age of 77.
Now, there's one other thing that's worth mentioning. Scott C. Marlowe, a cryptozoologist, author, and TV personality, wrote a fictional book entitled Squallies. Now, although the book is marketed as fiction, the author claims that it is based on real events. According to Marlowe's biography on Amazon.com, he is proclaimed as America's most credible cryptozoologist. And
I'm not really sure who proclaims this, besides him.
Self-proclaimed.
I read this book, and it was...
Cheeseball?
Yeah.
A fellow of Pangea Institute and educational consultant to the American Primate Conservation Alliance, Marlowe's television credits include Monster Quest, which is on the History Channel, Is It True on Discovery Channel, Legend Hunters on VH1. They still have VH1?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't know. We're like totally Hulu. So Destination Truth on Sci-Fi Channel, William Shatner's Weird or What, History UK and Canada and Sci-Fi USA, Weird Travels, Travel Channel, and Weird Florida on PBS. Those are pretty big credentials.
Yeah, it is actually.
So maybe he is the cryptozoologist of the world.
Maybe. He said America's most credible cryptozoologist.
Well, he does have a lot of credits, so maybe that's what he's going by. So now there are huge differences between Marlowe's version of the Squallies and our local version of the Squallies. Marlowe does claim that the Squallies are a government experiment gone wrong. They are human-ape hybrid super soldiers, something more along the lines of a Bigfoot. So he was trying to create these master soldiers.
Bigfoots.
Like a government experiment to where they're going to build these like monstrous soldiers to send into the battlefield.
That's what the book says.
You know, it's funny because like in the 70s, like even like 50s, 60s, and 70s, it seems like there was so much like testing. There were so many drugs that were tested for the government, so many things. I mean, you look at Roswell and a lot of that conspiracy stuff happened then. You don't necessarily hear a lot about it now, even though there's so much more technology at people's fingertips. But back then there wasn't. So it's almost like people made stuff up.
I think that there's a lot of people right now that are going nuts over this coronavirus, calling it a government experiment gone wrong.
True.
So
well, see, I think that's where a lot of this comes from. His Facebook states, this book is a story based on real events about the Squallies, a race of human-ape hybrids ostensibly created back in the 1930s at a research center here in America. And Lauren read this book. She said it's very short. It's an interesting story, but different from any Squally tale that she's known.
Someone stated in a comment on his Facebook page, I was checking it out on Google, and it talks about them being pig-like, to which he responded, not really. That's more of a legend in the Barton Booger and Pigman of the Okefenokee Swamp. The Squallies do have a chimp-like protruding jaw. There's also a post on his page from May 18, 2016 that linked to an article about the burning down of Monroe Station, suggesting it was the Squallies who destroyed it. He states that several fans have written to suggest the fire was no accident. And it is a strange coincidence that the station burned down 10 days after the release of his book, Squallies, in which Monroe Station played a significant part in the story. He poses the question, was someone trying to cover up possible evidence?
Well, in April 2016, the Monroe Station, located in the heart of Big Cypress National Preserve, was one of the original service stations that was constructed along the Tamiami Trail. Now, this was a road that got its name because it ran from Tampa to Miami and was completed in 1928, hence Tamiami Trail. The building had no electricity and there was no lightning or brush fires that night. Investigators had a hard time figuring out how the fire started.
There were rumors that the National Park Service wanted the defunct building gone, but in an article in the Naples Daily News, Investigation Ongoing But No Answers Yet in the Monroe Station Fire, published on April 1st, 2016, Bob DeGross, spokesman for the Big Cypress National Preserve, which owned the building, denies these claims and stated that they had been actively seeking funding for the restoration of the building for several years.
Now, mind you, Marlowe posted his suggestion that the Squallies were responsible for the destruction of Monroe Station on May 18, 2016, but an article from the Naples Daily News published on May 9th of that same year announced an arrest in the investigation. Apparently, a man later identified as Bronson Locke admitted that he accidentally started the fire while he was trying to create a stunt camera shot. He stated he climbed onto the roof to create a sparkler-style image by spinning a wad of flaming steel wool as two others took pictures of him from the ground. Locke was charged with a misdemeanor creating public safety hazard. He was not charged with arson because the arson requires intent. So apparently this proves that Squally's did not burn down Monroe Station unless he was framed.
By the Squally's.
He was framed by the Squally's. You never know. Maybe the Squally's have infiltrated at the council.
So in conclusion, there's really not much out there on the World Wide Web about the Squally's, about our particular urban legend of the Squally's. It's truly a word of mouth type urban legend. And although many, many locals have claimed to have encountered a Squally or know someone who has, there's no photographic evidence or anything else to back up these claims. Scott C. Marlowe claims that, unlike the local legend of small pig-like people, Squallies are actually large ape-like creatures. He seems to be the only one that makes this particular claim. Everyone else we've talked to or read about believes in the small pig-like version of the Squallies.
Me.
So do Squallies exist?
Yes.
Although the legend has been around for at least 20 years, there are elements of the story that are based on facts. But I don't think they actually exist. What do you think, Ken?
It's like we spoke about before with when we had our guest on, Chris Balzano. We talked about something had to occur at that time to create that. So something was seen. There was something that was seen or done that sort of got the wheels turning. You know, maybe somebody felt like they seen it. It could have been somebody in a costume. Like Skunk Ape, we talked about that. I mean, that was... We think it could have been somebody in a costume. I mean, just something that created that legend, if you want. Are they real? I don't know. But I will tell you this. Every time I hear a noise in the woods, it's a Squally.
Ever since our very first episode when we did it on the Squallies, I've had so many people approach me or message me or email me about their encounters with the Squallies. And it just, I don't know. It's hard to say.
That's what I'm saying. It's almost like there's a little bit of truth to it.
I think that there has to be a little bit of something. I'm not saying that there's little pig face people with fangs that eat people.
I'm not saying it was aliens, but it was aliens.
But
something to that.
Maybe there's something out there. I don't know.
You know, and I guess
we will continue searching.
Yeah. Oh, every time we get a chance, we're in the woods, we're squally hunting.
Yep.
That's what it is. If you're ever in the woods and you're in South Florida, Southwest Florida mainly, you're squally hunting because that's just more fun to call it that. But no, I mean, seriously, like I said, there's got to be something that caused that. And again, it could have just been something that maybe somebody seen. Maybe there was a wild hog. Somebody was getting chased by a wild hog, but they thought it was a person.
Maybe.
You know, because down here, there are plenty of wild hogs.
Yeah, there are. There are, definitely.
There's plenty of wild hogs.
My dad, there was this wild hog once that kept coming around in my parents' backyard. And my dad became, like, obsessed with it. And he took so many pictures of it. And this was back when, like, the old digital cameras. Like, he didn't use his phone. But so he was also learning Photoshop at this time.
Oh, geez.
So he had all these pictures of this wild hog. And then he would Photoshop the hog into different pictures. Like, they'll just be like a prom picture of me in the front yard. And he'd Photoshop the fucking hog there, right there at my feet. And he just thought it was the greatest thing. And it's like I used to laugh so hard because it's like every picture. That stupid little hog was like Photoshopped in it.
Well, see, and it could have been something as simple as that. You know, I mean, you picture we're out camping and we hear a noise. We go out there and it's both of us. We're walking and we're trying to figure out the noise. And you shine your light and all you can see is this little pig face and it takes off running at you. Of course, it's going to be short, you know, and it's going to come at you. It could have just been something as a wild hog or maybe it was really a squally. Who knows? But it's hard to tell. But it originates from something, you know, it's every like folklore originates from something being told. Somebody seen something, felt something, you know, and I don't know. I'm still going to call it a squally. Like I said, just keep hay and bacon close by. Oh, we do want to let everyone know that they have since someone has since purchased a sanctuary?
Oh, yes. Yes. Since we first did this episode, the Neath Laredum Sanctuary has been purchased
by the Cypress Cove Conservancy, and the new name of the Neath Laredum Sanctuary is now called the Cypress Cove Sanctuary.
Yes, and apparently at some point they're going to start opening it up as a nature center for tours, so we're going to be on it as soon as that opens.
And is when we're going to find us a squally.
Yes.
Can we catch one? If we like find it and see it, if it like tries to attack us, can we catch it and bring it home?
We can try.
Let's try.
Okay.
You could also, anybody who wants to check this out, if you go to vimeo.com/wildnaples, they have some videos of the sanctuary there. You just got to go down to where it says Cypress Cove Sanctuary, not Cypress Cove Conservancy, but find Cypress Cove Sanctuary. And it even mentions Bob Gore's property. And you can look, and there's like 6.5 minutes of video that shows some of the signs that he put up, some of the wildlife that's there. They have game cams set up to where they catch some wildlife in different areas in there. So you might just want to put that up because it's really neat. You get a chance to see what this property is all about and why it's kind of its seclusion and overgrowth, things like that. You'll get an idea of why it's called the, you know, about the fairies and all that stuff.
All right. Well, we want to give the biggest heartfelt thank you to everybody who's stuck with us and grown with us over the last 2 years.
Yes, that is, you guys are amazing.
And I feel like.
And a special welcome to anyone that's new. If you're just listening to this for the first time, thank you very much and stick with us. We've got a lot of stuff out there.
Yes. And I am actually trying to come up with some bonus stuff. I know a lot of people are home right now, shuttering in place, quarantined, self-isolating, whatever you want to call it.
Stay home orders, blah, 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 no travel.
And I do want to tell everyone to stay home. Stay home. Stay home.
If you don't have to be anywhere, stay home.
Stay home.
Some of us have to work, though.
Stay home. Flatten the curve. Let's get this over with so we can get back to normal.
All right, everyone. I guess that's going to be it for tonight.
Again, if you'd like to support the show, please subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/ParadiseAfterDarkPodcast.
And check out our Etsy store for some awesome Paradise After Dark gear. I think we've got some new shirts on there.
We do. We have new shirts on there.
The dark side of the sunshine state.
Please make sure to follow us on social media at Paradise After Dark Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and at ParadiseDark239 on Twitter. You can also email us at ParadiseAfterDarkPodcast@gmail.com.
You can also check out our website, ParadiseAfterDark.com, for our latest episodes, links to social media, our Etsy store, and a link to our Patreon.
Please make sure to subscribe to the show on whatever platform you're listening and rate and review. This really helps us branch out and reach a wider audience.
And thanks for listening
to Paradise After Dark.
Dark, 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 dark.